kind of wanted to ask you first, being a mayor and also being a teacher, how do you balance your work and school life?
That's a common question. And my typical answer is that before I was mayor and on the city council, I did some coaching. I coached football, wrestling, and track for almost 20 years. And I was a head track coach and football coach. And, you know, if you're a good coach, you spend a lot of time at it. And it's not necessarily just in season. It tends to be more year-round anymore. And, excuse me, being the mayor is not much different than being a head coach. To put it in a school perspective, you have a lot of planning. You have a lot of different meetings and stuff that you go to, and you have to learn to prioritize your time between your student needs and the needs of the city. And it's something that I've gotten pretty good at, I think, managing my time and finding time to make everything work. But it's certainly not a unique characteristic by any means, because there's a lot of people that make, you know, multiple large tasks work at the same time.
Right. And so you were just named Teacher of the Year, and I understand that when they announced it, they just came into your classroom and they had this whole assembly. What was kind of going through your head at that time?
Well, it was very humbling, to be sure. You know, obviously I submitted the application, but considering the outstanding teachers that I work with every day, and then being named the Teacher of the Year in front of them, it was quite humbling. And I'm fortunate to work with a faculty that, in my opinion, is second to none. And they teach me, you know, every day what it means to be and what it is to be a good teacher. So I've had good role models to work with, and it was quite an honor, but in the same breath, it was very humbling.
I imagine. And now that you have this kind of this new platform, what do you hope to do with it?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I've always strived to be a teacher that is inclusive, regardless of what a student's abilities might be, where they might come from, what their background might be. And as diverse as our community is and as Idaho's culture is becoming, I think we need to be look really carefully at ourselves and make sure that we're not missing some of the best and the brightest because they might come from a different background or a different culture than what we're used to teaching. And it's not to say that most students aren't capable of a lot of things, but I think a lot of times students that are different get overlooked or marginalized, and I've kind of made it one of my goals to make sure that that does not happen in my classroom. And I'd like to make sure that that doesn't happen in Idaho, and if I get the opportunity, nationwide. There's too much talent out there to overlook it.
Right. I'd agree with that. And I noticed just reading some things that you said, I noticed that you are a big supporter of technical schools. And I wondered, does that play into what you were just saying with including other students who aren't traditionally kind of going in the traditional stream?
Well, our school district is very proud of the fact that we have a really good go-on rate. This last year, 74% of our high school graduating class was accepted to post-secondary education, either a four-year school or a two-year technical school. And a lot of those kids that are going to the two-year technical degrees are going to make really good money a lot faster than the kids that are going to search for and try and complete a four-year degree. And I think one of the things that education has perhaps marginalized historically is the value of technical skills and their place in a functioning workforce. And I think that's one thing that all ag programs and career technical education programs do is they provide students with options. And it's not to say that a kid that graduates from welding from my program can't go on to be a doctor, because they certainly can. I've had two students, female students, put themselves through college and become RNs welding. So a skill is something that you can take with you wherever you go, and whatever life throws at you, you always have that skill to fall back on. And I think that's a real plus for career technical education and agriculture education, that we're able to provide those lifelong skills for any student that has the want to and the desire to pursue those. And it certainly doesn't preclude that they, again, can pursue a different four-year degree, because many of them do. But a lot of them find their niche, you know, right here in town, right here in Power County. And I've got graduates making way more than I make, and they never went to a day of post-secondary school.
That's amazing. And you've been teaching, you know, for a while, 35 years. And what advice would you give to any new teachers out there?
Love what you do, and care about the kids. Build those relationships that the kids can trust what you say, because they know you care about them. And if they have your trust and you have theirs, anything's possible.
What's an experience, if you don't mind sharing, an experience that maybe has changed the way that you've taught?
I don't know if she changed the way I taught, but she's certainly an example of what I just described. 6 years ago, I had Odalis Gonzalez in my honors biology class, and she is an exceptional student. Well, she graduated valedictorian. She is a dreamer and a DACA student. And it took me probably 9 months to build a relationship with me to where she trusted what I was telling her. And Odalis is not only my success story, but she's also a product of American Falls High School and several teachers. But she is a student that grew up in an agricultural family. She started picking rocks in third grade. And a year ago, she graduated valedictorian and accepted a full ride to Notre Dame. So it's amazing what kids can do when they see that others believe in them.
Pretty apparent that you care a lot about your students.
Yeah.
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 And what motivates you to do this every day?
Stories like the one I just told you. You see kids who maybe don't believe that they can, but you see something in them that they don't necessarily recognize in themselves. And you're able to turn an I can't into an I can, or an if only into a next time. So it's a difference that you can make in a kid's life that keeps me coming back every day.
Right. In teaching, have you noticed are kids these days maybe a little different than kids you were teaching when you first started?
Yeah, I was asked that same question on the day that I was named honor or teacher of the year. You know, I don't know that kids are any different. I think the culture is different.
Mm-hmm.
They still want to be successful. Their definition of success might be a little different than what mine is, but they still have that desire, and they lack sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes they might lack just the role model to help them get where they want to go. And, you know, in our ag program and in our high school, we have multiple role models that students follow and are able to maybe get a perspective that they weren't used to or hadn't seen before that allows them to change into the productive person that we all want them to be. Are there differences between kids then and now? I think they're all just kids, and they're all trying to find a way. And it's been the job of the teacher to help them find that. You know, when I was growing up, it was different. Culture was different. The jobs were different. But the kids today, you know, I grew up knowing how to do manual labor. And the kids today are learning how to use technology, and that's where the jobs are. Most of them, they just have to learn how to apply it. And so while the skill sets might be different, the end product is exactly the same.
I would say that's pretty comforting.
You know, it's easy to trash the millennials or the whatever generation we're in right now, but there's tons of good kids, and they all want the same things we did when we were growing up. They just got to figure out how to get it in a different society, in a different culture, and that's our job to help them get there.
I'm sure your kids are really grateful to have a teacher who cares as much as you do.
Well, there's a lot of teachers that care as much as I do.
And looking forward into this next year, and this can apply to anything, what would you say you're most excited for?
I guess I'm excited for the challenge of at least sharing what my vision of education can be and being able to help teachers that might be on the crux of being really good at what they do and loving what they do, but are maybe deciding that they don't want to teach anymore. You know, a lot of times we lose our best teachers to industry because, you know, at least in Idaho, historically teaching hasn't paid as much as industry jobs. But I think at least in American Falls School District, that's changing, and I hope it's changing statewide. But we lose a lot of really good talent to business and industry where they could really make a huge difference in the lives of kids if they were found a way to be successful in the classroom.
Right. That's Mark Baida. Thank you for talking with me.
You're more than welcome.